Chapter 12. Had this been done intentionally to help us, or were we just caught in someone's spell and it hadn't registered for us since we'd been invisible when it was cast? But who would want to cast a spell like this on the castle? The place had incredible wards on it, built to withstand even the most powerful of sorcery. This couldn't be good.
Roth!
A familiar voice suddenly called out, and I turned to my right to see Prayna. The long-haired council member came up behind Odin and Freya, and when she saw she had my attention, she turned back toward the way she'd come and pointed.
Hurry! We must go now. This spell won't last long.
Prayna looked more beautiful than I'd ever seen her. She wore a long silver dress with a white tie around her waist to accentuate how small it was. Her cleavage popped out the top of her dress, and a long diamond-encrusted necklace hung from her neck and dipped between her breasts. Her long golden locks were pulled back into an updo, but several long curls hung down her back, and a few smaller ones framed her face. Her lips were painted red, and her eyelashes were even longer than usual, the result of some makeup, no doubt. Her cheeks were flushed, though I couldn't tell if that was from makeup or her current attempt to save us. Either way, I couldn't stop staring at her. My stomach dropped, and it filled with a fluttering sensation as desire welled up inside of me.
Roth!
Prayna yelled again, and I was brought back to the moment. Ah, right, I said, and I grabbed Kaas's hand and tugged her along behind me. I had to refrain from staring at Prayna's full ass as I followed her back down the hallway. The silver dress accentuated every curve she had, and I couldn't help but imagine what she would look like naked. I thought about how soft her skin must be, and how beautiful she would look with only that red lipstick on. The council member had always been beautiful, but seeing her all dolled up for the party was something special. She was stunning, and I suddenly wondered why there was no man in her life. Not only was she gorgeous, but she was also kind, intelligent, and extremely powerful. Any man would be lucky to have her, including myself. She'd been on the council for a long time, and I wondered if that put a damper on her dating life, or if she just wasn't interested in finding a man. She wouldn't have to try hard, not with how she looked right then. Prayna led us to a set of double doors, and then she pulled out a key and jammed it into the lock.
Hurry!
She urged as she ushered us inside. Her light brown eyes were wide as she scanned the hallway, and I wondered when her spell would wear off, or if it already had. The council member closed the door behind us and pressed her back against it before she let out a long sigh.
Oh, I was worried I wouldn't make it to you in time.
She smiled.
Thank you so very much, Prayna. Yes, thank you. That spell must have taken a lot of energy. It does. That is why it only lasts for such a short period of time. Luckily, we were able to get back here before Odin saw you. He is not in the greatest of moods tonight. We saw that.
Asta nodded.
What's going on tonight? Whatever it is, you look lovely.
Asta complimented Prayna before she could answer Kaas's question.
Oh, thank you.
Prayna smiled at the elf girl and then turned back to Kaas.
It is Odin's birthday party this evening. He doesn't like to celebrate it, but Freya insists it causes an argument every year. How did you know we were here? I sensed your enchantment, and I sensed it was about to wear off. Oh.
Asta stared at the council member with awe.
Does this mean one of the whales is in the castle?
Prayna asked, and she looked around at each of us. Under the castle, actually. I had no qualms with telling Prayna where the well was. She was trustworthy, and she'd proven she only wanted what was best for the dragons, so I didn't see any reason to hide information from her. We were on the same team, after all.
How did you cast the time spell?
Kaas asked, and fascination glittered in her violet eyes.
I thought the castle was warded against magic inside. It is, but I'm the one who put those wards into place.
Well, that made sense. Prayna was supposed to be one of the most powerful sorceresses in all of Asgard, and possibly the Nine Realms. She was also a trusted council member, so Odin would have no reason not to trust her. If she hadn't sensed we were in danger, we would have been in big trouble. I almost felt bad we'd made Prayna break Odin's trust, but then I thought about how he'd banished the dragons. Prayna, the rest of the council, and the girls and I were only trying to right the wrong he'd allowed to happen. So I smiled, knowing he wouldn't enjoy himself at his own party. It wasn't my place to question the King of Asgard, but when I looked at Blar and the twins, it was hard not to.
Is this your room?
Kaas asked as she looked around. The chamber we were in was massive, but it was cozy and warm, and it was decorated with soft reds and purples I wouldn't have expected the council member to like. There was a large fireplace over in the corner just to our right, with a couch and several chairs set up in front of it, and on the opposite wall was a giant four-post bed and a canopy all around it. A large wooden desk took up most of the far wall, and a wardrobe sat to our right. A vanity adorned the back wall next to another door, and above the mantel was a giant painting of Asgard. The island looked colorful and lively against the stark blue water that surrounded it, and I was reminded of what a beautiful place I lived in.
It is.
Prayna nodded.
I didn't realize council members lived in the castle.
Asta cocked her head to the side inquisitively.
We can choose to live here or on our own. Bayer and I have chosen to stay here for the time being, but Rimbar lives out in the woods on his own.
Oh, you say that as if it's a bad thing.
Oh, not at all.
Prayna smiled.
I would like to live that way one day as well, but right now I'm needed for the council so frequently I don't see a point in living far away. I hate to travel.
Hearing her say she wished to live that way one day gave me a glimmer of hope. I wanted to offer for her to come stay with us right then, but that wasn't something I was comfortable doing, not just because I wasn't sure how the girls would take it. I also didn't want to let Prayna know I admired her, especially not right now, since we worked together so frequently. I'd hate for her to be made to feel uncomfortable. Still, I couldn't help but look at her, and my eyes gobbled up the sight of her and took in every tiny detail about the way she looked right then.
Wrath?
Prayna said, and her soft brown eyes met mine. Yes, I cleared my throat and I suddenly realized I'd probably been too blatant with my staring.
How's the quest coming along?
Prayna asked, but she lowered her head and then looked up at me through her long, thick eyelashes. It's going well. We have 2 vials so far.
Oh, that is excellent.
The beautiful blonde said, and her eyes widened as if she were impressed. Oh, we are going to get the 3rd tomorrow, but I do want to thank you for saving us back there.
Ech, it was no trouble.
She smiled at me and then bit her lip.
I was glad to be of service.
Oh, you didn't have to do it, though. I want you to know it was appreciated.
I appreciate you as well.
Prayna said, and she took a step closer to me.
You're making my dream of seeing dragons again a reality.
The council member reached her hand up toward my shoulder, and my stomach tightened in anticipation of her touch. But instead of laying her hand on me, she held it out for Blar. The little blue dragon sniffed her fingers and then leaned his head against them for attention. Prayna happily obliged, and she stroked Blar's neck and scratched under his chin. Her fingers moved delicately over his scaly skin, and I imagined what they would feel like on my body.
I hope to see many more dragons in Asgard soon,
Prayna said, and as she pulled her hand back, her fingers just barely grazed my neck. The small touch was enough to send a shiver down my spine, and my heart rate accelerated in response. Prayna must have felt it too, because her lips parted ever so slightly, and her cheeks flushed as she looked at me with curious light brown eyes.
We should get you out of here.
She breathed, and she glanced over at Kaas and Asta. Yes, I think that's best. If we didn't leave soon, I was going to take her right then and there while my other 2 lovers watched us. And I had a feeling she not only knew that, but she wanted it as much as I did.
Is there a way we can get out of the castle without being seen? Oh, I fear not.
Prayna shook her head.
There are servants and guests everywhere. It will be easier if we sneak you out in plain sight. What do you mean? I have an idea.
The council member said, and she turned around and opened the door.
Wait here.
Prayna slipped outside and left the girls and I alone in her room. Bla hopped down from my shoulder then, and he ran over to the fireplace and jumped up onto the couch so he could sprawl out. Inga saw what he was doing, and she flew over to join him on the couch as they both soaked up the warmth of the fire. Ufe stayed on Kaas's shoulder and watched his twin and their friend bask in the firelight. Don't get too comfortable. We aren't staying long.
But I bet you'd like it if we did.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? I asked, but I could feel my cheeks grow warm with embarrassment. Had it been that obvious?
Oh, please. You and Prayna definitely find each other desirable. It's been obvious for a long time, but tonight it was really bad. She was dripping with hot sensuality.
No, I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about. I lied. Kaas rolled her eyes and Asta giggled again.
There's no need to be embarrassed. We aren't mad about Ira, and we aren't mad about Prayna either.
You have nothing to be mad about, I said, and I was right. Nothing had happened yet, and even if they weren't mad about a little flirting, I doubted they would be accepting of another woman into our daily lives.
We like them both. Yes, they are both very beautiful, powerful, and kind.
Asta added, and she directly contradicted my previous thought. I wasn't sure I'd ever heard anyone refer to Ira as kind either, but it wasn't wrong. They are incredible women.
You should go for it.
Kaas grinned. Go for what?
Are you really going to make me say it? You should try and mate with them.
Asta said, and my eyes went wide at her use of the word mate.
But she said, make them yours. Bring their power over to us so that we're all stronger. They desire you, and you desire them.
Asta shrugged.
But we will not force you if that isn't what you want.
You would be okay with that? I asked as I looked back and forth between the girls.
Of course. We are bonded with you. We know you would never do anything to hurt us. And since we are bonded, we have no reason to be jealous.
Asta smiled.
We know you'll always love us.
I will. I smiled back and reached out to stroke the elf girl's cheek. I was surprised to hear the girls talk like this. I hadn't figured they would want another woman in our bed, but they seemed fine with it. They encouraged it, even. They'd voiced their approval of Ira, but I thought they'd been teasing me more than anything. Now I understood they were serious, and I was grateful for their bluntness. Oh, I had truly landed the best women ever to bond with. How many other men could honestly say their women were all right with them taking another female to bed? Still, there were more pressing matters to attend to at the moment, and I needed to focus on them before I sought out anyone else for carnal company. A loud clanking noise came from over by the fireplace, and I turned to see Bla in the process of lifting the lid off a large dish on the table near the couch. Bla! I exclaimed. Prayna had invited us into her room, but that didn't mean we could rummage through her things. The little blue lizard rolled his eyes and took a step back, but he didn't get off the table.
It's quite all right,
the council member said as she slid back through the door. I'm sorry, I apologized with a gesture toward the little dragon.
Blar?
Prayna looked at the little blue dragon who was still on the table.
You may have one, but you must share it with Inger and Ufe.
The little dragon nodded eagerly and scurried back over to the dish to lift the lid back up.
You better go get yours before he eats them all,
Prayna told Ufe with a wink, and the little red dragon hopped off Kaas's shoulder and ran over to the fireplace. Bla and Inga already had their heads in the dish, and Ufe joined in. He carefully poked his head between the other two dragons, and then his tail started to swish happily.
What is in it? They are pumpkin treats the cooks made for me.
Prayna smiled.
Pumpkin is my favorite. Oh, it's Bla's favorite, too. It's no wonder he likes you so much.
Prayna smiled at Kaas and then turned to gaze fondly at the little dragons as they devoured all her treats.
Here,
she said after a moment, and she placed a deep grey piece of fabric into my arms. What's this?
You will need to fit the part in order to get out of the castle. I, of course, have nothing to fit you here, but you're about bear size, so I went to his room and took a dress robe for you.
Oh! My eyes widened when I realized this wasn't just a regular piece of fabric. If it belonged to Bear, then it was probably very good quality and quite expensive.
He won't miss it, I assure you.
Prana smiled and pointed behind me.
The bathroom is behind that door. You may change in there.
Thank you, I told her, and I turned to head into the bathroom. I shut the door behind me and looked around. The bathroom was as large as my cottage, and it was decorated with more red and purple, but accented with plenty of gold. A large stone bathtub sat against the far wall, and there was a small fireplace near it to heat up the water. A toilet was to my right, and a sink sat to my left. A huge mirror hung above the sink, and I stared at my reflection for a second before I looked down at the stone countertop. It was covered with various items, like perfume, makeup, hairpins, and dirty rags. I smiled at how messy the blonde council member was. She was such a pristine person, it seemed strange to think her bathroom countertop was such a disaster. I quickly pulled off the clothes I had on, but before I put the new robes on, I turned the faucet on and rinsed my face off. The cool water felt good, and I took a deep breath before I wiped my face off and grabbed the clothes Prana had given me to wear. I pulled the long black pants over my legs and laced up the leather strap in the front. They fit much tighter than my usual pants, which didn't leave a lot of room for fighting. I doubted I would need to go into battle in the short time I would have to wear them, but I still didn't like feeling constricted. Next, I pulled a dark grey tunic over my head. It was a soft material, with long tight sleeves and a V cut in the front that was surrounded by an ornate design. Like the pants, the tunic was much tighter than I was used to, but I paid this no mind as I pulled my usual black boots back on, attached my sword to my hip, and checked the mirror once more. Two blue eyes stared back at me, and they sat above a sharp chin, strong jaw, and full lips. The sides of my hair were cleanly shaven, and the center strip of brown hair was pulled back into a braid. I scratched my chin and thought how I should have shaved my face, too. A small amount of stubble had come in since the day before, and I wasn't sure exactly how well I'd fit in with the rest of the partygoers, even in Bear's fancy dress robes. There was no sense worrying about it, though. We wouldn't be at the party for any length of time. Just long enough to sneak us through and out the door, that was all I needed. I didn't want to give Odin or Freya any reason to talk to me. I wasn't sure I could stop myself from giving Odin a piece of my mind about the dragons, and that was the last thing we needed at the moment. Once my quest was fulfilled and the dragons were saved from enslavement, then I would speak to Odin with the council by my side. We would show him what wonderful creatures dragons are, and assure him there was nothing to fear from them. I knew some dragons originated from Asgard long ago, and it was wrong to keep them from their homeland. After the quest was fulfilled, Odin would have no reason to keep them out of Asgard any longer. And even if he decided not to allow them back in, I would lead a revolution like Yarik had tried to when Odin had first banned the dragons. Only this time we would win. All done, I said as I stepped out of the bathroom, but then I stopped dead in my tracks. Kaas stood just in front of me in a beautiful pink gown. It flowed down her body and tied at the waist to accentuate her hourglass figure, and her strawberry blonde hair hung down in a mane of curls that cascaded down her back and around her face. I'd never seen Kaas with makeup on, but her eyelashes were longer than usual to accent her beautiful violet eyes. Her cheeks were flushed with a soft pink color, and her naturally plump lips were coated with a shiny gloss. The pink of the dress and makeup brought out the red in her hair, and she looked more beautiful than I'd ever seen her before. Kaas.
Wrath.
She pulled her full bottom lip between her teeth and looked up at me through her thick eyelashes.
You look...
I trailed off as I gestured to her with both hands and then let them fall back at my sides. I don't even know what to say.
You could say she looks beautiful.
Asta giggled, and I turned around to see her behind me. My jaw dropped when I saw the elf girl. Her long, straight white hair was parted down the middle, and it fell like a curtain over her shoulders and down to her waist. Her elven ears were just visible under her hair, and she smiled brightly at me. She had on a black, strapless gown that clung to every inch of her before it trailed off behind her. Her lips were painted a bright red color that brought out the yellow in her eyes, and she looked elegant and regal, as if she were a queen from another realm.
Close your mouth, Wrath. It's unbecoming to stare. Oh, I don't know.
Asta smiled and looked me up and down.
I rather like the way he looks at me. It is quite flattering, like he is starving and wishes to devour us. Now that you all look the part, it's time to get you out of here, unless you'd like to stick around for the party, that is.
The blonde council member seemed almost as if she wanted us to stay. She smiled at me, hopefully, but I shook my head. I don't think so. We shouldn't be here. I don't want to call attention to ourselves unnecessarily.
I suppose you're right, though I do hope you will be able to attend one of the events sometime. It would be much more fun with you all here. How could a party where you get dressed like this not be fun?
Asta asked, and she twirled around so her dress fanned out behind her.
It is nice to feel beautiful.
Prena smiled.
And to make good use of all my dresses. However, most of the people who attend these things are not people I wish to speak with, so I mostly just drink mead by myself.
The last part was said with a laugh, but for the life of me, I couldn't imagine any man who would allow Prena to drink alone. I certainly wouldn't. A quick look around, and I realized I was surrounded by three of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen in my life. They all were remarkable in their own ways, and they were made even more attractive since I knew they were also kind and intelligent. Though my quest wasn't completed quite yet, I felt incredibly lucky with where I was at, and I recalled what the fates had said. They'd warned me that to take the water from the well would be to seal my destiny, and here, in this moment, I thought I had made the correct choice. If being surrounded by these gorgeous creatures was my destiny, then I figured I didn't have it too bad.
We shall sneak you out the back door,
Prena said with a decisive nod.
It will be the easiest way to get you out without notice. Most guests have come through there already, and Freya and Odin will be entertaining in the ballroom. Thank you so much for this. We will be sure to get you your dresses back, as well as Bear's clothes. Oh, don't worry about it. I have others, as does Bear. Besides, they look better on you anyways.
Prena looked at me when she said this, and I couldn't help but feel as though she were looking me up and down like a piece of meat. Just as I had with the three women. As much as I hadn't wanted to be obvious with my staring at her earlier, she didn't seem as concerned with blatantly gazing at me.
Thank you.
Asta smiled at the sorceress and bounced on her toes, and the elf girl was clearly excited to keep the dress she was in.
Just be sure to play the part if anyone tries to talk to you on the way out.
Oh, we can do that, I assured her. Whatever we had to do. It wouldn't be as mortifying as the last time we'd gotten caught in the castle and had to act as though we were drunkenly lost. I could only hope none of the guards remembered us from that night.
Let's go then,
Prena said, and she turned to look toward the fireplace where the dragons were.
Perhaps you should carry them.
I glanced over to see all three of the little creatures were asleep on her table. Their little bellies were plump from the pumpkin treats they'd devoured, and Ufe snored lightly as his chest rose and fell with his breathing. I think that would be best. I shook my head. It was amazing to me the little dragons could fall asleep like that. They were still so little, though, and I figured they probably got tired more quickly, considering how small their bodies were and how much energy they had to exert to fly or breathe fire. I walked over to the dragons and picked up Bla. The little blue reptile rolled over, and his tail hung over the side of my forearm while he continued to snooze in my arms. Even though I didn't totally approve of his snacking, I was honored he trusted me to pick him up, even while he was asleep. He knew my presence, my touch, and that thought made me smile.
"Come here,"
Asta cooed as she picked up Inga and held the dragon's small frame against her. Kaas gathered Ufe up into her arms, and soon we were all ready to go. What about the dragons?
Their enchantment is still working.
I know, but won't it be weird to see guests with dogs?
Oh, not at all.
Prayna shook her head.
You'd be surprised at the odd things you see at these parties.
Kaas put all our regular clothes and their weapons into her magic satchel, but I kept my sword tied to my waist. We followed Prayna out of her room and down the hallway until we came to the back entrance. Everyone we passed simply nodded to Prayna or said a quick hello, and it seemed nobody thought we were out of place. I supposed it didn't hurt that we were with one of the council members. Prayna had a high standing in Odin's kingdom, so nobody would dare to question her as to why she had three strangers, each carrying a dog with her. Instead, they let us through with barely a glance, and soon we arrived at the back entrance. There were a few guests out in the garden, drinking, but not as many as we'd seen before, and we could easily slip past them and out the back gate now, especially since we were in similar attire to what they wore. If we'd still been in our street clothes, I imagined someone might try and stop us to see why we were in the castle, or perhaps they would mistake us for servants. Either way, we wouldn't have belonged with the guests, that was for sure. With Prayna's makeovers, though, we fit right in, and for a second I allowed myself to feel as though I belonged. Since I had no lineage, I knew I would never actually be invited to an event such as this one. I'd given up on that dream long ago, but to be here now felt good. I'd come a long way, not just as an orphan who had to fend for himself, but as a warrior, and now as the master of dragons. Though I still had no lineage to speak of, once I finished this quest, I could perhaps create my own lineage. My children would never have to endure the same hardships I did. I would make sure of that. And one day, soon, after I saved the dragons, Odin would have to acknowledge what I'd done for their kind, and for Asgard.
Wrath.
Prayna suddenly drew me out of my thoughts as she grabbed my arm.
Please be careful. I would miss you if anything were to happen to you.
Oh, don't worry about me. I smiled at the beautiful blonde sorceress. I'll be fine.
Please let us know when you have completed the quest, and if I or the council can be of any assistance.
I will, I assured her, and then I looked over to the door where Kaas and Asta waited for me. I should go.
Yes.
She breathed, and her light brown eyes locked onto mine.
I will see you soon.
I nodded and turned away from the beautiful council member before I leaned in and kissed her. Even though she'd made it clear she desired me, there were still other, more important things going on at the moment, and I didn't want to draw any focus away from them. After I finished my quest and freed the dragons, I would worry about Prayna and what we felt for each other. Until then, though, I would only worry about the dragons. I smiled to myself when I remembered I had another vial full. That only left one more, and I would get it done tomorrow. It had already been a long day, and I was beat. Prayna had called a carriage for us, and we climbed into the back and enjoyed the cool evening air as we rode back to our home. Usually I didn't mind walking, but at the moment I was glad to have a ride home. We got there much quicker than we typically would have, and I waved at the driver and hopped out. The little dragons were still asleep, so I led the girls to the cottage, and we all laid the small reptiles on the bed. Without waking, the three of them moved closer to each other until they were a lump of scales and tails in the center of the bed. I shook my head and poured three glasses of mead. Even though I was tired, I still had the urge to have a drink before bed. The girls and I took our mead and headed outside, so as not to wake up the dragons. I quickly got a fire going in the pit, and we sat around it to enjoy our drinks. The honey ale hit my mouth, and I savored the sweet flavor of it before its heat filled my belly. While I drank, I looked across the fire at Kaz and Asta. Both of them were still in the clothes Prana had given them to wear, and once again I smiled at the sight of them. Not only did they look beautiful, but they radiated confidence. It was as though being in the dresses made them feel even more beautiful than they already were. You too look absolutely lovely. I can't get over it.
Thanks.
Kaz looked down, and then her violet eyes glanced up at me through her thick eyelashes.
I've never really worn makeup before. It feels strange. Never.
Asta asked, and her eyes widened with disbelief.
No.
The strawberry blonde shook her head.
I never saw need for it. Of course there's no need.
Asta smiled.
You are beautiful, but makeup feels nice. It does.
Kaz agreed before she looked at me and bit her lip.
And you look very handsome. Very handsome.
Asta repeated with a grin.
Prana thought so too. She did. She couldn't keep her eyes off you. Don't worry. We told her we didn't mind.
You spoke to her about me? I asked, and my eyes widened slightly with interest.
Briefly.
Kaz shrugged. I smiled and shook my head, too tired to be embarrassed about anything at the moment. Tired as I was, though, I still couldn't keep my eyes off the girls. They were as sexy as the day was long, and I watched as Asta's lips wrapped around the rim of her glass so she could pull a long sip of mead into her mouth. The sight of the two of them caused my pants to grow tight, and desire welled up inside as my heart rate accelerated and my breathing became irregular.
Wrath,
Asta said softly, and she bit her lip seductively.
What are you looking at?
You too? I can't stop.
Would you like to touch us as well?
The elf woman asked, and she cocked her head to the side so her long hair fell off her shoulder and revealed her smooth, pale skin. Yes?
Come here. Touch us. We are yours, after all.
I set my drink on the ground, stood up, and walked over to where the girls sat across from me. Kaz hadn't said anything yet, but she stared at me with violet eyes filled with desire, and because of our bond I could sense her lust. Both of my women were on fire with want, and it only made the desire inside of me rage that much harder. Sometimes I forgot how our bond brought us together, but in moments like this, when I could feel how much each of them wanted me, I was reminded of how we were all connected. I stood in front of Asta, and the elf girl looked up at me with yellow eyes hidden under heavy eyelids. Then I reached down and pushed her hair behind her pointed ear, and she closed her eyes and leaned into my touch.
You feel so good.
My fingers stroked her cheek and then traced their way down to her exposed collarbone, and she leaned her head back and let out another low moan.
Caspia, she wants your touch too. Touch her, Wrath.
I looked over at the beautiful strawberry blonde sorceress. Her plump pink lips were parted slightly, and I could see the goosebumps on her skin from her desire. Oh, how could I say no to such a beautiful woman? I reached over and cupped her cheek with my hand. Then I grabbed her hand, pulled her up to me, and captured her parted lips with my own. Kaz gasped lightly as my lips hit hers, and then she sighed and reached her hands up to wrap them around my neck. All the while I continued to lightly trace my fingers along Asta's neck and down to her cleavage. The elf woman moaned even louder when I trailed my finger across the tops of her breasts, and her reaction made my cock twitch with anticipation.
Wrath, I want to feel you.
Yes. The elf girl's hands found my hips before they moved around to the front of my pants, and then her fingers started to undo the leather strap that held my pants up. The feel of Asta's hands as she worked on my pants made my breath catch as I kissed Kaz more deeply, and I thrust my tongue into her mouth and bit her bottom lip gently before I kissed my way down her jawline to her neck. I wrapped my arm around Kaz's waist, and I traced the curve of her full lips as I pulled her close. At the same time, I ran my fingers through Asta's long white hair as she undid my pants. Finally, the elf girl got the leather untied, and my erection sprung free. The cool air on it sent a chill down my spine, and I sighed into Kaz's mouth when Asta gripped my cock in her hand.
Oh, I want you.
Kaz growled against my mouth, and she reached down to wrap her hand around my cock as well. Oh, fuck, I moaned, and threw my head back at the feel of both my women handling my erection at once.
Come, taste him with me.
Asta whispered, and a second later Kaz pulled herself from my grasp and knelt down in front of me. Both of their cleavages were on display as I looked down at them from above, and that only served to make my cock twitch with excitement. Kaz moaned at the feel of my cock twitching in her hand.
Do it again.
I flexed my cock for her to feel, and the strawberry blonde threw her head back with a low moan.
Oh, I want you inside me so bad. Yes.
Asta licked her lips, and then locked eyes with me as she leaned forward and took my cock into her mouth. Kaz gasped at the sight of me filling Asta's mouth, and then the strawberry blonde leaned forward and kissed along my hip bone toward my full erection. Asta pulled back and made room for Kaz to join her, and then the two of them simultaneously licked down the sides of my cock.
You taste so good.
Kaz moaned as she licked me from base to tip. Asta grabbed the strawberry blonde's hair, and she guided her mouth to the tip of my cock. Kaz opened her mouth to accept me, and Asta slowly pushed her down the whole of my erection until the sorceress's nose was pressed against my stomach. Oh, fuck! I groaned as I grabbed onto Kaz's hair. Kaz worked her way up and down my cock, and the feel of her hot mouth on me was enough to drive me right to the edge. She took the whole of me with every stroke, and I wanted to hold her there forever and feel the tip of my cock hit the back of her throat over and over again. After a moment, Asta pulled Kaz away from my erection and replaced Kaz's mouth with her own. The elf woman swirled her tongue around the tip of my cock, and I threw my head back and thrust my hips forward. While Asta worked her magic on my erection, Kaz began to pull off the elf's clothes. She untied her black dress in the back and pulled it down so Asta's full breasts were exposed for me. Asta's small pink nipples were already hard with excitement, and I couldn't help but reach down and cup her small breast to feel it against my palm. I squeezed and felt her moan on my cock, and the vibration was so good, I gasped with pleasure.
I think she likes that.
The strawberry blonde sorceress reached her arms around to place her hands on Asta's stomach. She lightly scratched the elven female with her nails, and then made her way up to Asta's full breasts. Kaz kissed Asta's neck as she toyed with her nipples, and Asta moaned on my cock once again. Oh, you two are so sexy. I groaned as I watched Kaz lick Asta's neck while she pinched her pink nipples. Kaz pulled Asta away from my cock then, and she stood her up and finished pulling off the dress. A second later, Asta's naked body was on full display for me. The orange of the fire lit up her pale skin, and her hourglass figure was accentuated even more with the firelight. Kaz pulled Asta's hair back, and then she slowly placed her hands on the elf woman's shoulders. The strawberry blonde sorceress worked her hands down Asta's arms, then back up to her full breasts, and finally down to her exposed sex. Kaz's eyes closed as she slipped her finger down and caused Asta to moan with pleasure.
Oh, yes.
The elf woman moaned as she threw her head back.
She is so wet for you.
Kaz told me, and her violet eyes locked onto mine as she sucked her full bottom lip between her teeth.
She needs you. Desperately.
Cass spun Asta around and bent her over the bench by the fire, and then she spread the elf's knees apart so I could see Asta's glistening pussy in the light of the fire.
Fill her up, Wrath.
The sorceress commanded, and she licked her lips.
I want to see you take her right now.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? I growled. I enjoyed seeing Cass take charge. She was incredibly sexy, and I wasn't about to disobey her. I stepped up to Asta and rubbed my cock against her soaking wet pussy. She felt like velvet, and I slid inside her slowly and filled her completely. Then I grabbed Cass and pulled her up to me so I could capture her mouth with my own. But when I did, I realized she was far too overdressed. Take off your dress, I growled as I looked down at her body. Cass bit her lip and obliged. She slowly pulled the sleeve of her dress off her shoulder, then pulled on the fabric so it slid down her ever so slowly. Asta moaned as I thrust in and out of her while I watched Cass undress for me. The strawberry blonde made a show of removing her dress inch by inch until it finally slid down her chest and her breasts popped out. Her nipples hit the open air and they perked up even more. I reached out and pinched one of them, and Cass threw her head back and thrust her chest forward for me.
Oh, harder.
I obliged, and pinched her harder until she reached out and grabbed my arm to steady herself as her knees gave out. I continued to work on Cass's nipples with one hand, while I grabbed Asta's hips with the other. I pounded against her so her ass jiggled with every thrust, and her moans grew louder as her body tensed.
Oh, Wrath, I'm coming!
Her voice trailed off as she was overtaken with pleasure, and her pussy clenched my cock and spasmed frantically, which sent tingling sensations all up my spine and down my legs. The feel of her pleasure was nearly enough to send me over the edge, and I gripped her hips hard with both hands and thrust as hard as I could until my balls tensed up. Then a second later, my cock pulsed as I allowed myself to climax. Oh, take my seed! I growled as I held Asta's ass against me, and her knees trembled as she orgasmed again at the sensation of being filled up with my hot release. My cock spasmed inside of her, and her velvet walls squeezed me as I unloaded my hot seed into her womb.
Yes!
Cass moaned as she ran her fingers over Asta's back and then up my chest.
Fill her up, Wrath.
Once my climax was complete, I opened my eyes and saw Cass was staring at me as she bit her lip. I knew she wanted me too. So I slowly slid out of Asta and watched my cum drip out from her bare pussy. Oh, lick it up, I commanded Cass. I'd let her boss me around earlier, but I wasn't about to allow her to think she was in charge here. She needed to know I still had domination over her.
Yes, Wrath.
Cass's violet eyes locked onto mine as she slowly lowered herself down to the ground. And you're just going to lie there and let her, I said as I pulled Asta off the bench and flipped her over so I could lay her on her back. The elf woman moaned as Cass began to kiss up her thighs.
That feels so good.
Cass made eye contact with me as she slowly licked my seed off Asta's skin, and the sight of her was enough to drive me wild. I growled as I grabbed Cass's ass and reached down to feel her wet pussy. She was soaked for me, and she trembled as I slid inside her from behind. I watched as Cass licked and sucked on Asta's pussy, and the elven female wriggled with pleasure.
Fuck! Don't stop!
Cass's back was lit up by the firelight, and I admired the soft curve of her spine as I thrust over and over and watched my cock slide in and out of her slowly. The strawberry blonde sorceress moaned against Asta, and I watched as the elven woman tensed up and orgasmed for a second time. At the same time, Cass's pussy started to clench and spasm on my cock, and she cried out against Asta's sex, which only made the elf girl moan louder as she rode out the waves of her pleasure. The feel of Kaas's walls clenching me made my balls tense in preparation, and my cock twitched as the urge to come again swelled inside my gut. Instead, I lifted Kaas up and flipped us over, so I was on my back on the ground, and Kaas straddled me on top. Then I pulled Asta over to us, and she sat on my chest and leaned back against Kaas. The elf woman's beautiful body was lit up from the firelight, and I watched her perky breasts bounce slightly with every thrust I made into Kaas. The strawberry blonde worked her hands down to Asta's pussy and rubbed it slowly while she rode me. The elf girl wriggled under Kaas's touch, and her lips parted as she breathed in ragged breaths. Her yellow eyes locked onto mine, and I could feel her pleasure as if it were my own. "Oh, yes!" I growled and grabbed Kaas's hips so I could slam into her hard. Kaas bounced up and down on my cock, and a moment later both of them climaxed again. Kaas twitched and spasmed on my cock while Asta's wetness spilled all over my abs and chest. The sight of her glistening pussy spasming made me bite my lip and throw my head back in pleasure. "Oh, I'm going to fill you up!" My body tensed as my cock pulsated and flooded Kaas completely. I gripped her hips hard and I pumped every last drop into her as she milked me with her tight pussy. After I rode out the waves of my pleasure, I took a deep breath and laid my head on the ground. Kaas and Asta climbed off me, and each of them laid by my sides. I wrapped my arms around them and savored in the feel of the wetness that still coated my hips and chest. We were all quiet for a moment as we basked in the firelight and the feel of each other. But then I noticed something strange out of the corner of my eye. There was a faint green light coming from something to my right. I could just see it past Kaas's mane of curls, but it was there.
"What is that?"
Asta asked as she lifted her head off my shoulder to try and see what I was seeing. "I don't know." I shook my head.
"What?"
Kaas asked, and she lifted her head and turned around.
"There's a green light over there. I see it."
Kaas turned back to look at me with wide violet eyes.
"What could that be?"
"Let's find out," I said, and I sat up and reached toward the green light. I pushed my pants out of the way and grabbed at the green light. My hand caught something, so I picked it up and pulled it closer to me. It was the green vial we'd filled up at the well just earlier that day. It must have fallen out of my pants during our lovemaking and landed on the ground. It hadn't been glowing when I put it into my pocket, but now the vial glowed a bright green, though it didn't seem like anything else about it had changed.
"Whoa."
Asta breathed as she leaned in to get a closer look.
"I wonder why it's doing that."
Kaas pursed her lips. "I have no idea." I shook my head. "It wasn't doing that earlier."
"Do you think the blue one is glowing too? Let's see."
Kaas reached over and grabbed her satchel to pull it to her, and then she dug inside it for a second and pulled out the small blue triangular vial. It glowed slightly as well, but not as bright as the green vial.
"Nidhogg didn't say anything about the vials glowing, did he?"
"He didn't say anything about the vials at all. He only told me to find the man who was there when the dragons were banished."
"That's right."
Kaas nodded.
"And I'm guessing Ove didn't say anything about it either. Maybe it's because they're near each other. What do you mean?" "Well, the vial wasn't glowing before, but now it's by the blue one and both of them are glowing. Maybe their magic is connected somehow."
Kaas's violet eyes widened with realization.
"That's quite possible. Do you think they'll glow even brighter once we get the final one?"
Asta asked with a wide grin.
"I don't know."
Kaas bit her lip.
"But we'll find out soon enough."
The strawberry blonde sorceress was right. Tomorrow we would go to Niflheim, to Nidhogg's well, and we could finish the quest he'd sent us on. There was only one vial left, and it would be filled within a matter of hours. Soon all the dragons would be free, and my destiny would be fulfilled. Morning couldn't come soon enough.